So thank you for having me here. First of all, you don't have to be a professional speaker to serve God and to work in his ministry. So if any of you think like, gosh, I could never do that. Well, of course you can. And so God's going to call you someday to do amazing things. If you want to advance to slide one, you can. So I am going to talk about a huge number and a huge situation in the world. Globally, there are 140 million. You're probably thinking, what are there 140 million of? Well, you know that I'm here to talk about kids. There are 140 million abandoned, neglected. Oh, exciting. Thank you. I've never done this before, so this is going to be an experiment. I've always had my laptop in front of me, so I have a couple notes. Neglected and abandoned children, orphan children in the world. 140 million. That is such a big number that sometimes it's like, how many is 140 million? What does that look like? Do you guys know what 140 million looks like? I wonder what $140 million looks like. The connection was lost again, so you're going to have to help me. Okay. It might be the distance or something. So next slide, please. In India, one of the countries we work in, there are 20 million abandoned and neglected orphan children. Am I too far for? Okay. 20 million. That is another huge number. Next slide. So how can we solve such a big problem? That is one of the things that I think whenever we look at a number that big, we think, how do we solve that problem? And it is big. And to imagine that many children abandoned, no parent, abandoned by their parent, neglected, maybe abused, sexual abuse, there's sex trafficking, all these sorts of things that happen. It's 140 million of them in the world. Next slide. So our way of dealing with it is one child at a time. So we can't go ahead with, and this is Kidstown International, you said that already, yeah. We can't take care of every child. So what we do is we take care of one. So who's heard the starfish story on the beach? Kids, starfish on the beach. So there's a bunch of starfish on a beach, and a guy's there, and he takes this starfish, and he throws it back in the water, and there's 1,000 starfish on the beach, and he throws it in the water to save that one starfish. And a man walks up to him and says, why are you doing this? You can't save all of them. There's no way. And he picks up one more, and he says, that one I saved. That starfish is now alive. So Matt Smith, who Jim talked about, Matt, when we first expanded into India in 2007, he took a trip to India, and he was in the city of Calcutta. And he was on the streets of Calcutta walking around, and they came across a woman. I think they found out it was a woman lying in the street, covered in a sheet, dying. And nobody would do anything for her. So they asked around, Matt and his friend Doug was with them, and they looked and they tried to find people that would help this woman. And people said, no, she's supposed to die in the street. She's an untouchable. She doesn't matter. What an amazing story. Do people actually believe that? Yes, in some parts of the world they do. And so Matt came back, and he was really touched. And I had just started volunteering with Kidstown at that time, back in 2007. And he shared the story with us, and we just said, you know, if we can just save one more child that is not dying at the end of their life in the streets in Calcutta, then we've done something. So we have the privilege of supporting almost 1,000 kids. But it's not about 1,000. It's about that one more child that we've been able to help. So next slide. So how is God leading Kidstown to help? So there are lots of things that we've been able to do over the years. Kidstown's been around for 23 years. Started off in Romania. I'll tell a little bit more about that. But the only thing that we can do, the only way that God is leading us, next slide, is only through the guidance of our Lord. It's like there's lots of challenges in the world, but we have come back to this is a bigger problem than we can even deal with, even when we're trying to help one child at a time or a home. And so only with the guidance of our God have we been able to, and has God given us the grace to do this sort of thing. Next slide, please. Anybody have heard of James 27? Kind of blurry there on the screen. 127. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God, the Father, is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Okay, so God says, pure religion is to visit the orphans and the widows. So why does he say that? Why is God saying that's pure religion? But he also says in this, there's a little bit other piece, and it says, there's a command to go save the orphans and the widows and care for them, or to visit them in different translations. But he's got a reminder for us to keep oneself unstained from the world. Because when you go and care for widows and orphans, and you go and care for folks that are sometimes in the streets, you enter the world. And you enter the worst part of the world sometimes. So it reminds us, and many, many interpretations, but for me, this says, make sure that you keep focused on God when you're in those places. So next slide. So again, how can we hope to solve this huge problem? Only with guidance from God. But he also talks about the fact of how much God is paying attention to these children, widows and orphans. He says, you shall not mistreat any widow or fatherless child. If you do mistreat them, they will cry out and I will surely hear them. So God has these children that are neglected and abandoned. He has them right in front of him. He's paying attention and he's listening for their cry. Next slide. And in Psalms he says, you, Lord, hear the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them. You listen to their cry, defending the fatherless and the oppressed, so that mere earthly mortals will never again strike terror in them. So we have this opportunity, and I look at this, and I think, you know, why are there so many things about widows and orphans? Is that because they're the only ones in need? That's not true at all. There's so many needs. Why does God talk about widows and orphans? And I really just think that there are reasons that those things happen. There are reasons that kids are orphaned. And many times, it's not a very nice story. Now, oftentimes, sometimes, a parent dies, or two parents die, and it's actually the child is you know, abandoned, or, I'm sorry, orphaned, and it wasn't really anybody's fault. But so many of the situations that I observe and I deal with and I get to see are about these children whose parents abuse them and beat them. A wife in India lost her husband and remarried. And because of their religion there, the new husband who she remarried doesn't have to accept that child. And they abandon the child because the father does not want that. It's not part of his bloodline. Really sad stories. Just like here, there's alcoholism, there's drug abuse, there's physical harm that happens. So we've got all these children. So that's the earthly mortals that are striking terror into these lives, I think. And so we have this amazing opportunity. Next slide. So I don't know if you can read that, and I'll try to read it clearly for you. But there is this tremendous blessing in serving and standing up for orphans. And when I say orphans, I mean abandoned, neglected, all the reasons that children could end up being in these homes. So in considering what our attitude should be towards these orphans around us, we have to remember that we are all adopted into God's family through Jesus Christ. So we're all orphans. So we all have come to a point where we have been brought into this family. So we look at children and we think, they need to be brought into a family, a larger family of a children's home. Maybe it's a foster family. There's different ways, but we're being asked to take care of them. And so I wrote here, it is our joy and privilege to partner with God in loving and serving and protecting the needs of these abandoned, neglected, and orphaned children. And I say, when I say joy and privilege, I didn't know, 4 years ago, I had no idea I was going to be doing this. I was running hotels. I was a hotel manager. And I had volunteered with Kidstown and helped Matt through some things, but boy, I had no idea I'd become the executive director. But there, it is such a privilege to be able to do this, and a joy. And I'll tell you, when I go travel internationally or I get to speak with a group, there's kind of a joy that comes out inside of me that doesn't happen all the time. And I'm like, okay, God, you got me in the right place. This is a privilege. And it is hard sometimes. It's a challenge. But I want to tell you that we have, and you have, such a blessing on this church for the help that you're giving to the children's home in India that you help, the Good Shepherd Children's Home. Next slide. So, these kids, and most of these pictures I had the privilege of taking, not all of them, but 99.9%. And every time you go and you look at these faces, this is an early morning, and I'm in India at a place called the Gilgal Children's Home, and it's a children's home of 40 girls. And these girls are out in the morning, and they're wearing their blankets, and I'm warm in shorts, but they've got their jackets on because, you know, it's 60 degrees, and that's cold for them, and I'm thinking, this is really nice. But I look at those faces, and they're out actually with these brooms sweeping and cleaning up the yard and picking up the leaves and things. And I took this picture because it was just this perfect picture of these two girls that were just so happy, but they've been abandoned and orphaned, and they're living in this home. So, Kidstown, simply said, is about, we support private orphanages in India, Nepal, and Romania. And it was founded in 1996 by Mike Hollander. If you go to our website, it tells a whole story. You can read about kind of who we are. But Mike Hollander started with one children's home when he was visiting Romania right after the fall of communism. And he came to this home, and this group in Romania was trying to build a home.
You're fine.
Okay, I'm fine. I was thinking it's my fault. They were trying to build a home, and Mike came back to the United States and said, we're going to raise some funds, and we're going to finish this children's home. So in 1996, it started with one children's home in Romania. Soon after, they found another home that had a need that was nearby, that just needed support. They were doing their best. They were working out of nothing, and they just needed some boost. And so Mike and Kidstown was formed to come alongside and lift up these homes. So our goal wasn't to start homes or to build them, but was to lift up homes that were existing. Christian homes that were teaching good things, that were caring for these kids, that were loving. So that's how Kidstown started 23 years ago. Between 1996 and 2006, it grew from one home to 10. And then in 2007, Matt Smith went to India because his father had a connection with someone. And then in Nepal. And we started with one home over there, right on the border of India and Nepal. And by the time I came along as executive director in 2016, we had 50 children's homes. Not 15, 50. And so God has just blessed this ministry, and he's brought so much need and so much understanding to what's going on in this plight of children. So our goal is one simple thing, is we find homes that we can partner with, do a lot of evaluation, and then we come up from underneath and we lift them up with support. What Matt found in India and Nepal is there were homes with no support. Zero. They were selling their carpets and their furniture to help pay for things for the kids. So that's our goal. So that's what your church did with the Good Shepherd Home. Next slide. So Kidstown focuses on the physical, emotional, and I added education. Maybe it should have been educational if I've got an English person here. And spiritual needs. Does anybody have a comment? It should have been educational? I don't know. But you know, kids, they need a roof over their head. They need a roof over their head. They need emotional support because they've been in trauma. We are working on education. I'll talk about that in a minute. But we also are caring for their spiritual heart and where they are. And many of these kids in these countries have come from a very dark place in Hinduism and come from a place that tells them that you are worth nothing. And that hopefully if you do the right things and pay the right homage to the God and worship these 4 million gods, that you will hopefully be reincarnated as something better than an orphan or an untouchable or a Dalit. A Dalit is the lowest caste in India and in Nepal. So these kids are being told that they're worthless. So we want to give them a chance for education. We want to give them a chance to have emotional support and counseling and understand what's going on with God in the world. So I want to point out this picture. This is Jeff Chambers, who's on our board. A couple years ago when he went and visited me, or when he came with me to visit the homes, he visited with me. This little boy, his name is Nishal. And Nishal was there, and Nishal had come to this home a year earlier. And Jeff had given me a donation, and he said, let me know where the donation goes. That donation paid for Nishal to have surgery. Nishal was dumped off at the home. He was blind. After they found out he was blind. And he had cancer in his eyes, and they actually had to remove his eyes. So here's little Nishal. I didn't tell Jeff where we were going, so I wanted to surprise him. And we walked up, and I said, Jeff, remember that $1,000 you gave me? That took care of Nishal and had the surgery. Now he has fake eyes, glass eyes. He's still blind. He plays with the kids. He is just this amazing little kid. And he was left on the doorstep of actually the hospital or the police station and then brought to the orphanage. So those are the sort of physical, emotional needs, the sort of things that this little guy has a chance. And that's what excites me. Next slide, please. So we do long-term care through Kidstown with sponsorship. So that's what this church does. This church sponsors an entire home. So, but we also do individual sponsorship. And every place I go, I sit down with a bunch of kids just like this, and I sit down with them, and I learn to eat with my hands, and we have food. And we have about 100 children that still need sponsorship. So we're always looking for sponsors, and we're always expanding and growing. But that's how we as an organization make our way, as we find churches and people to partner with these homes so they can take care of these kids. Next slide. And then we do special projects. So this is the Grace Home in Hetauda, Nepal. And they were building this building. They were adding the second floor. And someone was telling me they use bamboo. We were talking about bamboo. That's their scaffolding. Sometimes they use bamboo up to 5-6 stories and taller. It's pretty scary. So we work with special projects. And so we raise money just so we can help build some of these buildings. So we're not about building homes and starting homes, but we're about enabling people that are in these homes to do good things. And so that's what is exciting about Kidstown. That's, in a real nutshell, who Kidstown is. So, next slide.
My name is Yursa Tamang, and I am 15 years old.
Amar naam Arifa Khatun, amar boyosh 12.
My name is Rajesh Adhikari, 20 years old.
I am Soda, 17 years old.
My name is Mintu Kumar Rai, and my age 13 years old.
My name is Vesha Sunwar, and I am 15 years old.
Amar naam Selima Khatun, amar boyosh 15.
I was 3 years old, and my daddy's date, and my mother after 6 months, and she date, and church pastor, and he bring me here.
I came
here because of my family background. I have father, but he can't afford me, and so he sent me here.
আমার বাড়িতে খুব অশান্তি হচ্ছিল, খাওয়া দাওয়া কোনোই হচ্ছিল না। তারপরে আমার মা খুব অসুস্থ পড়ে গেল, তখন এখানে আমি ভালো আছি, সুস্থ আছি।
আমি যখন এখানে আসি, আমার মা এখানে ভর্তি ছিল, আর মায়ের সঙ্গে আসি। আর তখন আমি খুব কান্নাকাটি করতাম, এখানে থাকতে চাইতাম, কিন্তু তারপর আমি মামা আমাকে এখানে রেখেছে।
We all together, we play together, we eat together, going to school together, and very happy that we sharing love each other, our sadness, happiness each other.
I'm happy to stay here because I got new friends, new family, and new school, and new environment.
We are like brothers and sisters. Like they're more than a family to me.
বাড়িতে থাকলে হয়তো আমার দাদা বা দিদি আছে, তাদের সঙ্গে আমার অনেক কিছু শেয়ার করতে পারতাম, কিন্তু এখানে এসে অনেক যাই হোক কোনো হাসি মজা সবসময় থাকে, এবং যদি কোনো পড়াশোনায় যদি কোনো অসুবিধা হয় সে আমাকে সাহায্য করে এবং আমি তাকে সাহায্য করি।
আস্তে আস্তে আমাকে স্কুলে ভর্তি করান, আমি ফার্স্টে ক্লাস সিক্স থেকে পড়াশোনাটা স্টার্টিং করি, তারপরে এখন গ্র্যাজুয়েশন লেভেলে এসে গেছি ক্যালকাটা ইউনিভার্সিটি।
Yeah, my dreams is that social worker, that I also that help the children who are orphanage, and my aim is
to build a big hotel by my own self, and to provide help to needy people of a rural area of Nepal, and help to the children, poor orphanage people of them.
আমি বড় হয়ে স্কুল টিচার হতে চাই, এবং আমি স্কুল টিচার হয়ে যারা বাচ্চারা আছে আমি তাদের পড়াতে চাই এবং তারা কিছু শিখতে পারবে।
Thankful for my supporters. I've been getting good education, good food, clothes. I've got everything. I don't even have words to say like what I don't have.
That video was just put together by one of our board members. It's great to have a talented board. And this talks a lot about education and a lot about these children that are older, that we see many of them have grown up in these homes, and the opportunities that they're given. And so that is, this next year is our big campaign, will be called the Final Mile Campaign, and that is to help these children, like they're running a marathon, is to finish that final mile, to do that final mile of that race. Because in many situations, in children's homes and places where kids are living overseas, they're not given an opportunity to go to college, to go to extended high school, to go to different things. So our goal is to provide for every single child, all thousand of these children, an education, a college education if they desire it, trade school, whatever might help them to get a job, to work. They're going to Bible school. Some are becoming pastors. Some are becoming doctors and nurses. And we have one in Romania that became a lawyer, went to law school. This is a girl that would have been lost. She was living in a horrible situation. And she would be just like her parents. And so that's something that we are really focused on. I'm going to tell the whole story about the Good Shepherd Home, but I wanted you to understand what Kidstown is about and who we are and who we are as an organization. So next slide, please. It should be about the Good Shepherd's Children's Home, okay? So this place is an amazing place, and they're an amazing group of kids. They're in actually a new building right now, and I'll tell the story why. But this home, and you guys have been associated with them, you think like 7 years? Is that what you were thinking? Okay. So I've known them for about 3.5 years. 3 years, actually, is the first time I met them. What a great group of kids. This is majority girls, and there's one boy that's in the home because it's the younger brother of one of the others. And he's a little guy, and for now it's appropriate, it works fine. Eventually we'll have to make a different building for him or something. Because the law in India is the girls and boys cannot be in the same building. But when they're younger, it's okay. So next slide, please. So, picture of India. Kottayam. Okay, so it's put up the word there. Way down in the south. So I was just about 10 hours drive on old roads just north of there just recently. Next slide. And I met with the home directors, Sajay and Jansi Joseph. Jansi or Jansi? See, I'm saying Jansi. Jansi, Nancy. They are these two amazing people that have given their life, every ounce of their life, to care for kids. So, if you notice, Sajay has a cane. This last year, Sajay had a stroke. And his right side is paralyzed, I think. He has a challenge with speaking. But he is as bright as ever, as caring, and his family all help him to run the home. So prayers for the two of them, because they give everything that they have. So Sajay wrote something for me, and I was going to try to paraphrase it. And I thought, that's not a good idea. I'm going to read what he wrote. And this is the history of the Good Shepherd Home. So you guys can kind of understand this home and where it came from. So he's writing a letter to me, and he says, "Greetings in his precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am glad to inform you of the story of our home. When I have," and I'm going to read it exactly as he writes, it's a little different. "When I have 16 years old, I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior." This is Jansi talking. I'm sorry, Sanjay. "Then in 1984, I took water baptism. When I completed my secure education, I went to Bible college and seminary. When I have 16 years old, I dedicated my life to serve the Lord. I was belonging to a broken and poor family. I had four brothers. When I had 10 years old, my mother left me and the family. In my childhood, I struggled with many circumstances. I studied the Word of God 12 years in India. Then I worked with Campus Crusade for Christ in different parts of India. I worked among the lepers and the tribal groups in India. Through the ministry, I got a vision about starting a children's ministry for tribal and poor kids. So in 1999, I started the children's home with three children. Just three children. In 2001, I got married, and my wife, Jansi, she's also involved in the ministry. She was so happy to be able to serve children. The Lord blessed us with four children. Now I work with the children's ministry and tribal ministry. Unfortunately, on the 26th October 1918, I had a stroke. I am now taking bed rest, and he's up and around, but he still has to rest a lot. In 2013, the Kidstown Ministry started to help our Good Shepherd Home, especially with Pastor Jim Martin, Jonathan, and the church. Sorry that you're not all included. There are lots of pastors. With financial help and prayer, once again, I thank and praise God for the long time financial help and support of the ministry. Thank you. Praise God. May God bless you abundantly, and your prayer shall be with you. Pray for us. Sanjay and Jansi. And so I couldn't do that justice by trying to, you know, make a story about it. But I got to spend 4 days with these two just about a month ago. And we did a training, and we were doing trainings all over the Kidstown homes. And we brought all the leaders together. And Jansi and Sanjay came with some other folks from down in their region. And we flew everybody to one central location in different parts of India, and we had a summit. And this was the first time that many of these people had ever met each other. So we have 5 homes down in the southern region of India, and they had never met each other, except for 2 of them, who happened to be close. So we had Sanjay and Jansi come, and we had this great experience with them. We heard about the children, we heard about the home. Unfortunately, I had more classes to teach, and I couldn't go. But these two just amaze me, that in the sort of challenges that they're seeing, they continue to persevere and work for these kids. So next slide. So this is the bus of all the people that we had. And in this bus, we went out on an adventure one day. We went up to the mountains into a lake, and we did boat rides, and we just took them on this great adventure. We had these big banquet meals. And we wanted, from Kidstown, we wanted to thank these leaders of this amazing work that they do, because they do the hard work. We get to come here and we raise funds and talk to people and come and speak to churches, but these are the folks that do the hard work for these kids. So these kids are amazing. I love the kids, but these leaders are the ones we need to be praying for, as well as the children, because they're the ones doing the work. So next slide. So there is Sanjay in the hospital just after he had his stroke. Again, one side's totally paralyzed, but he is walking now with a cane. So I'm so excited. Next slide. So this is their last home they had, and they've moved to a new home, and I'm going to tell you why with you, the next picture. And that's because they had a flood. And if you look up on the left-hand side of the picture, you can see the fact that that's part of the building. The whole area out in front of their home, which actually, their home was on a hill in this little area, was flooded. So the water is probably 20 feet deep out there in different areas that you're looking at. The water is probably 20 feet deep. So they, their home was damaged. It took a long time for the water to recede. Next slide. That's looking straight out from the house. And those are tall banana trees in the background. Next slide. And they had to evacuate all the girls from the house on little pontoon boats and with ropes. Next slide. So this is their new building. I haven't been there. They rent this building. And so we're looking at all different ways that we can encourage them to fix it up. And when I go visit, I'll get a real good report. So, you know, if we need to help them in any other way. The challenge is if they're renting a building, it's hard to put money into it. We just want to make sure that what's in the building and all the beds and everything they have is of quality so they for them to use. Next slide. For the girls. And this picture just stood out to me because these are the girls, some of them that are going to nursing school. Some of them are going to Bible school. They're all passing. I mean, these are the smartest kids. And I sat and talked with them one day, and I just said, what do you want to do? And one was, I want to be a police officer. You know, I want to be a nurse. I want to teach music. I want to be a Bible study leader. I want to be a missionary. So there's all these different things that God is preparing them to do. And with Sanjay's guide and Jansi and the community and with our education program they're working on, we're going to make sure that every single one of these children have the ability to do that. So we don't know the future of this home because they're not taking in any younger kids right now. But until then, God is continuing to take care of these girls, which has been quite amazing. Next slide. So I wanted you to know who the girls are. Some of you may not know who these kids are. And so I can read some of this, and you can read it too, but I'm going to try to pronounce the names. Who did I talk to about pronouncing names? Okay. I'm thinking this is Milka. Cha? Milcha? She's studying 8th grade. She studies well. She belongs to a poor family, and she was living in a real slum area. Her parents are sick, and she's active in school. Next slide. This is Ashik, and she came 18 years back, so meaning that she's been there for probably almost 18 years. She's probably 19 years old. She's just completed 12th and is now studying for a degree. So she's one of the ones that is going to probably study for nursing or another school. I'm not sure on her story exactly. Next slide. Princy Mole. I love that name. So she came 20 years back. So she probably came as an infant, and she's 20 years. She has a brother and sister. She belongs to a broken family. She's a semi-orphan, which means she may have one parent. And she's completed her 12th grade and is now studying in fashion design. So a lot of these kids are now in college. Next slide. This is Gifty. What a great name. Gifty Moore. So she is studying in 8th grade. She wants to become a teacher. She likes to quarrel with all. That's not, I thought that was interesting. I asked, give me a little description on every child, a little bit more. She likes to quarrel with all. She's the younger one in our home. So I thought that was great. Next slide. And I should say, the last two children have the last name Sajay. They're actually, we keep them in our group because we support the whole family. They're Sajay's children, two of his daughters. So she's studying in 11th grade, and she wants to become a nurse, and she likes to serve the Lord with her job. So when we take care of a family, and there's a family that's leading a children's home, and there's maybe 12 girls there, and there's two other daughters, well, those daughters don't live someplace else. They live with the home, and they participate, and they're part of the home, and they grow up caring. And so we include them, and we write letters to them, and they're just like the other children. Next slide. Alicia, she came 6 years back, and she's studying in the 12th grade. So, I mean, she came a little bit later. She has two brothers. Her father is a patient, meaning he has some medical issues, and she wants to become a nurse. And I heard that the reason is because of her father. She wants to be able to take care of them. She's good in sports, and she just took water baptism and is active in all church activities. So what a great story. Next slide. This is Kamalia, and you guys support her in college. I think you've paid. Is this the girl we? Yeah.
This, yeah, I think it's one. Yeah, we did make a donation.
Yes, made a donation to pay for her school. So she's a true orphan. She came when she was 4 years old. Her father and mother had died, and her grandfather brought her to the home. She has a brother, and she came 15 years back. She's completed 12th grade. She's studying for a nurse. And again, Kidstown and Trinity has helped to pay for her studies. So he says here she is a good poem writer. She's active in church, and she loves to serve God and with her job. So you read these things, and then this is their way of writing. So I'm not, you know, this is, I asked him to share about these kids. And I get these stories, and I hear these, and I say, all of these kids just have this desire to serve God. And you should see in where they live and the sort of things they do. So next slide. This is a longer one, and Sangeeta. She came 12 years back when she was 7. Her mother died when she was only 3, and her father left her. Okay? Tough story. She is a real orphan. Her uncle brought her to the home. She's a good singer, and actually I heard her sing once before. And she just recently took water baptism. She's completing 12th grade, and she's also studying for a nursing degree in her second year. So her ambition is to become a missionary nurse. And she loves the Lord with her job. Continually, please pray for her help and studies. Kidstown and Trinity is helping her in her studies also. So, and I think there's one more. Printy Mool, I love that name. She's studying in grade 12. She came 5 years back, belongs to a really poor family. Her father's a missionary, so I'm not sure both the relationship and how she's there, but oftentimes these very, very poor people, and one father that's out serving as a missionary, has no wife, has no one else to help her, will sometimes come to the homes. She's good in mathematics, accepted Jesus. Again, the same story. Next slide. I think this is the last one. She's studying in 10th grade, and her father passed away 5 years ago. She belongs to a very poor family. After 12th grade, she wants to become a nurse, and she likes to serve the poor people in the community, and she's very caring. Is that it?
There's a couple more.
Oh, my gosh. I forgot. Oh, yeah. Jerefa. Again, similar stories. You guys can read it. She came 8 years back. She's studying. She's studying in a computer course. She's been baptized, and she's received Jesus. And she's a good singer. Go ahead. And then Jerry, again, similar situation, similar story. Came from poor family. A lot of them sing well. I've heard them sing. And her ambition is to become a teacher. Is that it?
Last one.
Oh, last one. Okay. I tried to rehearse these, but I forget how many there are when I'm standing up here. So she came 5 years back, and she's good in sports. And I don't know her. I don't know that I've met her when I was there last time. Some of the kids were gone, but many of the other ones I've known. So I think that's the last slide. So I've shared a lot of information, and I've given you a lot of information about these kids, and I know that it may have been boring reading the same story about all these kids, but I wanted you to know who these kids are, okay? I wanted you to know that these kids here thank you and are blessed by your church and by what you guys are doing and taking care of them. And a couple of them have been able to go to college because of the work and the money that you guys have donated. So that's amazing, and I just want to say thank you, okay? Because you guys have made the choice as a church to support an entire home. This home is challenged. They do have a lot of needs. There are things that I need to go back and find out what's going on with them and really what's happening. I think all the medical expenses, which I think you guys helped to cover with some of the medical expenses, yeah. Yeah, but they still have more coming up, and so we're trying to help. So there's so many different needs going on. But I just wanted you to see the home and what you guys are taking care of. And I also wanted you to understand Kidstown a little bit and who Kidstown is. So the question is how can you get involved with the Good Shepherd Home? There is someone here that's been helping to write letters just recently. What was her name? Andrea.
She's not here tonight.
And so, you know, talk with Andrea and you guys can write letters. So that's a way that you can be involved. Maybe you want to find out. I've even talked about, and we talked about doing a live video Skype with the home and trying to connect with them during a service so we could do a live sort of thing, and I still want to make that happen. I think that would be awesome. But also, if you're interested in what Kidstown does as an international as a whole, you can talk to me. So I'm ahead of time. I said I wouldn't go the full time because I never speak that long. But I just want to thank you guys for letting me come out and just share. This is a totally different presentation than I normally do, and normally I'm able to control my slides. So if it was a little disjointed, I apologize. Okay, because I usually know what slide's coming up next, too, and because I can see it, and I was like, oh, the video's next. But that video was a great video that was just so nice to have and someone produced for us, and we're using that to promote education and the sort of things that we're doing this next year. Because we have the opportunity, and you do, to change lives, not just immediately in removing them from a difficult situation, is that you guys, as a whole, as a church, you're changing lives long-term. And there's a multiplier effect with that. Because it's not just the child's life that you're changing. That child's possibly going to have a family. They're going to influence our community. Many of these girls are going to be nurses. They're going to be caring for people in a hospital. And they're going to be praying with them. And so the impact that you have on taking care of a home, you know, of 12 to 14 girls is so amazing. So I want you to remember that. I want you to remember what a privilege it is for you guys to care for them and a joy that you guys have the ability to do that. And so be thinking of ways that you could help. And kids, think about things that you could do too. Could you write a letter to one of the kids there? Of course you could. Become a pen pal. Do we do pen pals anymore, Rosanna? I think that's called Facebook, right? Yeah. Yeah. So any questions? But thank you so much for letting me come.
Are there any opportunities for short-term mission trips?
Yes.
Go visit the...
Yes. So that would be something the church would have to decide if they wanted to go as a whole or a number of people. But I am traveling at least twice a year. We probably have 6 different trips that go a year, different people going to different locations. And so depending on your goal and what you wanted to do, if you wanted to go just spend the time at one home, we'd have to kind of plan that. But that's a possibility. It would be really neat for a group from this church to go and visit the Good Shepherd Home and spend a couple of days there. That would be really cool. And I know the girls would love that. So someone's motivated to get that going. Yeah. So there's always possibility their location and where they are, they're a little bit more remote. I don't believe that there's a computer at the home. And so what we would do is we would go have them go to a place where we had some internet. But the internet, just so you know, is slow. They advertise at the hotels I stay at high speed, 1 megabyte per second or per minute, 1 megabyte, you know, per minute speed or whatever. And it's like you can't stream with that. But there are ways of doing that. And so I am open to anything. You can email through Kidstown's website. That comes through us. And it's on the website, and it says, email my sponsored child. It's a little different when the church sponsors an entire home, but you guys could coordinate that. We will do whatever you want in communicating and letters. It is slower with Sajay and Jancy. It is not like some of the homes we have where there is Facebook. They have a Facebook page for their home. There's all sorts of communication, and they live in a place where there's fast internet. So, great idea, though. Let's, talk to these guys. Let's make it happen, okay? So, we have on our website, so it's all digital, or I can help you, you know, personally. So we have about 100 kids right now that need sponsorship throughout Kidstown. So, on our website, if you go to our website, there's a place right at the top that says sponsor a child. You can even page down, and there's another spot that talks about sponsoring a child. There's a list of kids, and the kids' pictures will pop up, and they rotate through, and you can choose children from India, Nepal, all over. So we've got probably about 90 kids on that website right now. So that's the best way. Or we can talk afterwards. I can give you my card, and we can talk. So either way, that'd be awesome. Yeah. No, I think that the prospect is still good. This, you know, I'm praying. I don't believe that this Hindu nationalism sort of thing will last long term, only because eventually people are going to say, where's freedom of religion? Now, that may take 5 years, but these girls that are going out and getting nursing jobs and working in the schools, they're not being persecuted against at all.
No opposition.
They're getting jobs, everything's working fine. Now, just like any Christian in an environment where there's a challenge, you have to be careful, and you have to make sure that the way you're doing things is with relationships. They're more not wanting people to be out on the street corner sharing the gospel or, you know, sharing out to these groups of people. So as they are part of their community, I think it's fine. I'm praying that within 5 years this national program is going to be gone and they'll have a new president and things will move a different direction. But I'm just hoping. So they have a great prospect, I think. So there is another children's home called the Agape Home, about 25 minutes away, and actually it's run by Johnson and Linda Matthews, and they're really good friends with Sanjay and Yancy, and that's how we got connected with them. Their home has had to be closed. They have a church connected to the home, and they had slowly, the home had been getting smaller and smaller. There were only 6 boys there. So 5 of the boys have now gone off to some different places, and one of the boys is still living there, but they were being persecuted against in a huge way. They came and they tried to close down their church service, tried to close down the church. So they were running a church as well as a children's home, where the Good Shepherd home, even though he has a ministry, there's no church building or it's not part of a church. So We're just praying, you know, that every day God's going to give the ability for these people to continue to move forward in their ministries, but they're having to just change the way they do it a bit. In Nepal, if you're caught changing, converting someone to a new religion, mainly Christianity, it's 5 years in prison. So, you know, what they're doing now is they're having people sign little documents. I chose myself to come and learn about the gospel. I chose myself. No one converted me. So the church is getting stronger with this opposition. It's growing. So in one of the homes we have in Nepal, it's a really good question. Did everybody hear the question? So we have a home leader that is in Nepal that's in a very challenged area. And what he in his home, he has the Bible, the Quran, a bunch of different books on the shelf. And he tells, but they go to church every day. So these kids are being taught the gospel. They're being shown by example of the home leaders. But when the inspectors come in to inspect the home, he says, well, they have the opportunity to choose whatever they want, just like everybody does. We have the opportunity. We choose Christ. We're not being forced. We don't force these children to choose Christ. They're given a choice. And then he says, well, why do you take them to church? And he says, and he said back to the guy, where do you take your children? Do you go to temple? Well, yeah, of course I take my children to the Hindu temple. These are my children. I take them to church. I'm a Christian. Now, that's one situation in one place where it's working. There are challenges all over. He was just recently asked to be part of the Social Welfare Council, which is basically formed of all Hindus, and this guy's the only Christian on the council because he runs a really good children's home, and this is the council that oversees all the children's homes. So great question. It's a big challenge. There are churches around there, and they still have a church with Linda and Johnson, Matthews, and they still go to that. It's just not in the same building. So it comes
in.
Oh, totally. Yes, and it gets a little more underground. Now, what's interesting is in that part of the world, the both the Episcopal Church, but the Orthodox Church is huge. So many people would say, well, Orthodox Church, what does that mean? But the Orthodox Church is not persecuted against. It's the evangelistic churches and the people that are out sharing the gospel. So, but that becomes the challenge around the world. That is, you know, God asked us to go reach out to people, and he didn't say, you reach out only if it's safe. So, great questions, you guys. Thank you so much. Thanks for letting me come share. I'd love to chat with you afterwards, and if you're interested in learning more just about Kidstown or about what we're doing here at the Good Shepherd Home, we'd love to chat with you. Thanks for letting me share with you on this Sunday night. So,
thank you.
I appreciate it.
Let me pray for Kidstown, and we'll call it a night.